Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Once again, Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
Hey, it's springtime and the snow is melting and all these questions and comments we've had about dormant seeding. Let's see what happens now coming along here in the next couple weeks or so. Yeah, we're expected to be probably in the maybe low 60s by the end of the week. So, you
Minnesota,
know,
you got to love it.
Yeah, it's true. But it is, you know, you never know, that other shoe can still drop.
Exactly.
If you have, in fact, we already got a question or two to get things rolling here. But if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and if you are a regular listener to the show, you know we tend to get very busy here. So we'd love to hear from you, and you can call in your question. We'd love to hear your marvelous voice, or you can send a text, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226, for either a phone call or a text. Any kind of a lawn or garden question this morning, 651-461-9226. Now, what about you? And I know you don't have to worry about mowing your lawn, Teresa.
I don't.
But what kind of preparation are you going through, if any yet, with your yard or garden?
This year I'm going to be gardening a lot in containers, so I've got my containers kind of ready. Not ready, but then I just have to get all the soil and everything else. So I'm thinking about what I'm going to be planting in them and where I'm going to put them, because I don't have a super lot of extra sun. The most sun seems to be right near the house, and so the house gets really hot. But where I'd like to put the containers, there's not a lot of sun there, so we have to see where we can put the containers and grow some veggies.
That kind of sounds familiar. Same here. I remember trying to grow peppers or tomatoes closer to the house because that's where most of the sun falls.
Is, right? Yeah. And it's good to grow where you're going to be, so close to your house would make sense in some cases. But
yeah. Okay. I'm looking at a text, interesting question. Question for the garden show. In the back of my mailbox, I have a post which I like to, I'm trying to discern here what this says, which I like to hang a plant on. Above the area is a thick power line. Every plant I hang there dies. Do you think it's the power line or just bad luck with the plant?
I think it's bad luck with the plants, and probably it's in the bright sunshine. So those containers sitting out there in our bright sunshine when it gets so hot, sometimes you'll have to water them two or three times a day. And most people just aren't that able to get out there that frequently and water them. What you might want to think about, maybe instead of a hanging planter, maybe a big pot on the ground, if you can do something like that. That might be a better option, because you can get a bigger container that would hold more soil, and so maybe you'd only have to water it once a day.
Okay, very good. 651-461-9226. Calls are coming in as we speak. Let us take the first one. Roger, calling in this morning from one of my favorite towns, Owatonna. Roger, good morning. What is your question, please?
Yes, good morning. I've got a question that's not really a lawn and garden. It's more trees. I'm just wondering if Teresa has any opinion on hybrid oak trees, especially an ancestry oak or a heritage oak. Are they good trees to put in the yard, or is it better to stick to the traditional red and white and so on?
You know, Roger, that's a good question. And actually, the university just put out some articles on trees. If you go to extension.umn.edu, one of the articles is tree selection that should reflect your goals. So that may touch on it for you. But I see the hybrids are wonderful options. They may be good for the size and shape that you're looking at. You might not want a huge white oak. Maybe something that's a little bit smaller, or maybe a little more columnar or upright. So I would go with the hybrids as long as they're going to fit where you're going to put them. Again, look up, make sure there's no power lines, make sure you have the right kind of soil, and then purchase it to make sure it's going to fit your zone, whether it's a 4, 3, or 5, whatever zone you happen to be in. Make sure it's at least hardy to that zone, if not hardier. And the hybrids are a great option for a lot of people. I'd say go ahead and give it a shot. Good luck.
Teresa, I was thinking about starting something by seed, you know, just growing in a window box or inside the house, you know, just maybe throw up my grow lights back up or something. What's the process of doing that? Like, what about, I'm thinking about bell peppers, for example.
All right.
How do I do that?
So what you want to do is, and there are some good classes coming up on how to start your garden.
Oh, yeah?
How to start seeds. You can find that on the university website, how to start seed. But first of all, what you want to look at is your seed packet. And your seed packet will tell you start the indoor bell peppers, if you're starting them from seed, start inside. Maybe it says 6 to 8 weeks before the last frost in your area. So that puts it, we're right now about maybe 6 weeks before the last frost here in Minnesota, depending upon where you happen to be located. And then just make sure that you've got potting soil. You want to use potting soil. Take your containers, make sure they're nice and clean. Put your seed in at the right depth. Get your potting soil nice and damp. Then put your seed in and cover it at the right depth. And keep it warm. The right depth. Get your potting soil nice and damp. Then put your seed in and cover it at the right depth and keep it warm. Bell peppers especially and lots of those tomatoes that like it kind of warm. It will tell you maybe you want to start this one on the top of the refrigerator where that heat comes up from behind and warms up that area just a little bit. As soon as the plants start emerging, you start seeing them germinate and they're coming up, then you want to make sure you're giving them as much full light as you possibly can. Grow light are really good. You want to get that as close as possible to the plant without burning it. Make sure you're using lights that aren't super hot, as you don't want to burn the plant. And then just keep it watered and pay attention to it. Raise that grow light when you need to. If you're growing just on the windowsill, you'll see a plant start to lean toward the window. You're going to have to turn that pot maybe a quarter turn every day. What they're doing is they're stretching for the sunlight. Windows can also be kind of cold. If you live in a house like mine, the windows can be freezing cold in the when it's cold outside because I don't have good windows. So just keep an eye on how warm that is. And just pay attention to your plants. And then it'll tell you how to harden them off to get them used to being outside when you plant them outside. Things like peppers here in Minnesota, you probably don't want to be putting those in your outside ground until maybe Memorial Day or later.
Oh, okay.
They like really warm soil. They're a warm season plant. They like warm soil. They like warm air, warm soil. All that kind of information. But seed packets will tell you all that. The extension website will also tell you all that. Or Master Gardener.
And have a little patience.
And have patience.
Or a lot of patience, in my case. Texter says this. I know we have to break here momentarily, but I want to get another question answered here. Texter says, I've grown gloxinias for about 3 years. Recently, I found out that they are supposed to go dormant. Mine never have. Should I try to force dormancy? If so, when?
I have never grown a gloxinia. I have no knowledge of that plant. I would say, though, if you've been growing it and they've always worked for you, keep doing what you're doing. Maybe you plant them new every year so they don't need to go dormant. However, just do what you've been doing all the time or go to extension.umn.edu, and that's a new plant on me. I've never grown that plant. Good luck with that.
Very good. Hang on, Teresa, please. We're taking a quick break here on our Smart Garden Show, here every Saturday, by the way, in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks to Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning, answering those lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. Right now, here in the Twin Cities, we have currently, 34 degrees. We are heading for 41, and as far as Easter Sunday tomorrow goes, small chance of rain in the afternoon, otherwise a cloudy Sunday, Easter Sunday, with highs near 45. However, by Friday, we could be in the low 60s. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here on WCCO. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. doing all the answering of those lawn and garden questions this morning. 651-461-9226. Here's another one for you, Teresa. What's the proper way to care for an indoor cactus in full sun?
If it's looking nice and healthy, just make sure that you water it occasionally. You don't want it to start wilting or start shrinking. Otherwise, all you have to do is just keep it watered occasionally and in full sun. That's really all you have to do. There's not much else. Most cacti are slow growing. They will love the full sun. And if you see it starting to lean or anything like that, maybe turn the pot, because sometimes your full sun maybe isn't as full sun as you hope. If it starts looking a little pale, maybe it needs a grow light. Other than that, it should be very happy where it is in that full sun window for you.
All right. Listener wants to know, Teresa, can you use soil from my existing garden for the container garden? It's for tomatoes. And should I supplement the soil with anything?
If you are planting in a container, you need to use container soil or potting soil. Never use the soil from your garden. The soil from your garden is just too heavy, and it will just pack down and get really hard, and the plant won't grow at all or not very well in it. So you have to use container soil. If you're growing in a container, or if you're starting pots, you use starting seeds, you use a seed starting mix or a container soil mix. Never garden soil.
Interesting text here I'm reading. My neighbor's lawn just had a lawn treatment done on their lawn. Was it too early? Since we're not in the growing season, we've had 12 inches of snow. Will that chemical just be washed away?
Probably. I don't know what they would have had done. Hopefully the lawn service did not do something out of season or whatever. Maybe they were having a dormant seeding. I don't know. But it's really too early. The ground is not warm enough yet for pre-emergent stuff to be putting down for the crabgrass or anything like that. So I'm not quite sure. I would think it was too early. It's too early to be fertilizing. You just need to wait till stuff is actively growing, till the grass is actively growing. Yeah, it could be too early.
And I know we're going to be addressing that maybe on next week's show, given the warmer temperatures. But if your ground is soggy, your lawn, you don't want to walk on that yet.
You don't want to walk on it. You don't want, especially because we did just have some snow and the ground probably is thawed. So now it's wet and you don't want to be walking and compacting that soil.
Yeah.
Denny, you've gotten a lot of points over the years.
Well, I tell you what, you and your colleagues are the smart ones here, and I've tried to absorb as much as I can.
You're doing a good job.
Well, there may be another judge's opinion on that, but that's thank you. This listener says, I have a bunch of garlic that has sprouted. Can I plant the individual cloves?
You can. However, it's probably garlic from the regular grocery store, so it's going to be a soft neck garlic, which means it's just a bulb, a head of garlic with a whole bunch of cloves inside. Normally, what we would be planting in October is hard neck garlic, which is a bunch of cloves around a hard stem in the middle of that head of garlic or that bulb of garlic. So then you would plant out the cloves. If you plant the little sprouted garlic now, what you're going to get is more like a scallion. So you'll be getting the green of the garlic, the stem, and that's what probably you'll be using. You won't ever get a full bulb of garlic from that little clove that you're planting.
Okay. I know in previous shows we've talked about and answered a listener question about landscape rock. I don't particularly care for it. I know you and some of your colleagues don't either. But maybe we could address reasons why. But this listener says, you say no to landscape rock around the house and recommend using mulch. But isn't that a haven for all sorts of bugs?
Mulch, the wood chip mulch can be a haven for all sorts of bugs. You are totally correct on that, and I wouldn't have it right up against my house. I'd probably leave a 2 or 3 inch dead zone of just soil up against the side of the house. If you're planting just around your house, or if you're landscaping, sometimes that could be a place for landscape rock. But the wood mulch, it can be a haven for insects, and I can't deny that it certainly can. So you wouldn't want it right up against the house. You want that little no man's zone between the house and the mulch.
What would be another negative for rock, Teresa? I've heard years ago that if you have plantings in there, it could heat up quite a bit.
It can heat up. Lots of the time, with the rock, what you've got is you've got to put down a landscape fabric on the soil, then you put your rock down, and that landscape fabric is a weed barrier after a fashion, even if it's the woven kind. However, what it's really doing is just holding the rocks away from the soil, so the rocks don't sink down into the soil as they can. So what you have to do then is you have to think, okay, there's going to be leaves, there's going to be dust coming into those rocks. That's going to get in all the crevices. It's going to turn into a soil or an organic matter. Then weed seeds are going to be able to grow in between the rocks, and they can't get down into the soil. Then you have to take all your rocks out, wash them, take out the landscape fabric because it's now ripping and falling apart. Put down fresh landscape fabric, and then put your rocks back down again. You may have to do that every 5 to 10 years to make it look nice. Also, what's happening is because you have the landscape fabric there, you cut a hole in for your plant, but the fabric may prevent water from getting to the roots of the plant. It can also strangle the plant if the plant gets bigger and you haven't pulled back more landscape fabric. It can get really, really moist under there. It can get too wet under there, and then you have fungal problems. It's just not a happy putting plastic on top of soil. It's not a happy ecosystem in the soil underneath, if you can think of it that way. If you know, decide, do you just want landscape rock around your house, or you're not going to grow anything, say, for the first 2 or 3 feet, fine. But if you're trying to grow something, you want to make the plant happy. So try to get the soil happy.
All right. Good info. Before we have a look at that forecast, another texter says this: I overwintered my geraniums in the basement this year. When should I pull those out?
I'd probably pull them out now and start bringing them up, start watering them, bringing them to life, cutting them back if you need to, if they've gotten kind of stringy, or as you see them grow and if they get kind of leggy, cut them back so they're nice and compact but full and bushy when you put them outside. Then just make sure you do acclimate them to being outside when you decide to put them outside.
All right, very good. Hang on, Teresa. Okay. We're going to take a break for weather, and then we'll have about another half hour of our Smart Garden Show. See what the rest of this Easter holiday weekend brings weather-wise, and then this coming week, too. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering those lawn and garden questions either by phone or by text. If you'd like to call in, great, 651-461-9226. Or the same number applies to your text question, 651-461-9226. Teresa, let's talk a little bit about what's going on at the Arboretum. We always like to bring that topic up because, first of all, it's a great resource. And it is a fun place that if you've never been there, once you do visit, you will be returning. There's no doubt about it.
You will be. You need to get a ticket first, so you need to go online and get a ticket. That helps with parking. It just helps with crowd control, too. Crowd control at an arboretum. That sounds funny.
It does.
But there's a lot going on at the arboretum. There's a lot of plants that are starting to bud out, so you can look at the red twig dogwood and the yellow dogwood and see the magnolias buds swelling, and all the conifers are getting their beautiful cones, and some are actually pink or red, so that's kind of interesting to see. You could also head over to the conservatory. The Hoyas are blooming, or there is a Hoya blooming, which is an amazing plant. There's so much to do. There's beautiful art shows at the Arboretum. I know they have some exhibits that you'd want to look at. There's classes going on at the Arboretum, so you can take classes. There's yoga. There's all kinds of things going on. They'll be starting some walks, some nature walks next month, which is like day after tomorrow. But next weekend, they'll be starting some. So there's a lot going on at the Arboretum. You know, go out there, bring your friends. It's a great way, too, if you're looking for a tree. That gentleman, Roger, who was looking for a hybrid tree, they might have those hybrid oaks out there. And you may want to see, yep, do I like that oak or do I not like that oak? So if you're selecting a tree or a shrub and you want to see it as its full, big, gorgeous, what it looks like in real life in an arboretum setting. You can see what those trees and shrubs look like. You can get some good ideas for your garden and your landscaping.
Oh, absolutely. And any time of the year, you can see what those trees or shrubs look like in the fall and the winter, you know, with any.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. It's a, it is a great idea for that, job, too. How do you get there? Well, you just head out west on Highway 5 and 41. I guess that's the closest intersection.
Yep.
You're almost there, so it's just
you're
off to your
there.
Left.
It'll be on your south or left side. Yep, it's right there.
All right, let's get back to our questions here on our Smart Garden Show. Here's one. Hello, I have a golden doodle. I love those dogs. Who is full brown, full grown rather, and a very active dog. He loves to run in our fenced-in backyard. However, my grass is taking a beating because of him. The grass was already getting thin from shade trees before he came along. Well, his paws really tear up the turf, and this spring the lawn is more like a mud pit. Is there any way to add more durability to my existing grass to help survive the trampling and tearing up from our beloved four-legged monster?
No, not really.
What would you put down there?
Well, you know, you're dealing with two things. You're dealing with some shade, encroaching shade, and you're dealing with a dog. So not only is the dog activity going to be impairing it, but also what dogs do. But the running around is really going to compact that soil, going to tear it up. I would just maybe go with a wood chip mulch in some areas, especially those areas if your dog is a patroller, likes to make the circle of the yard. You know, don't try to grow things around the fence. Just bring it in and just have let the dog have a path around the fence where he or she can run and patrol. Or if they come up, my dogs used to come out of the back door of the house and go straight to the elm tree because the squirrels were there taunting them all the time. So it wouldn't make any sense to try planting anything in that runway because the dogs would have just ran right over it. So you kind of have to see where are they playing. Is there an area where you can just put some wood chips down and let the golden doodle play there? And then in another area, maybe fence it off a little bit and have some turf so you can actually put field grass under your feet. Or you may just say, well, the turf is in the front yard and the dog is in the backyard and that's how it goes. And you can replant. You can try replanting. I had a neighbor who replanted every year. She was out there constantly replanting because she had two big boxers in the backyard. Dogs and grass, dogs and tree, or trees and grass, not good combinations.
Yeah. But the dog alone is great.
Let's the dog alone is great. So, yeah, that's definitely a plus. So I'd err on the side of whatever makes the puppy happy.
There you go. Can I use corn gluten meal on my asparagus bed for weed control? If I can, when do I put it on and how much of it?
That's interesting. Corn gluten meal. I suppose you could. I don't know if it would inhibit future asparagus growth because the asparagus would be coming from the roots. I wouldn't think it would, but I'd probably double check with the extension website on that. And just understand that as you use the corn gluten meal, it takes a few years to build up in the soil. So it's going to take a little while for it to be super effective for the weed control you want. In the meantime, you'll still have to be pulling a lot of those weeds and clipping them out of there to help your asparagus.
Okay. Last year, a listener says, I started a bee lawn, which is mostly Dutch white clover. I had issues with crabgrass coming up, and I know I need to stay away from weed control products, but I'm wondering if I can use a crabgrass preventer on this without harming the clover.
You should be able to. If the clover is up and growing, the weed, the pre-emergent, stops seeds from actually growing or sprouting or germinating. So any plants that are up there already will be fine. It just means if your clover is going to set seed, that seed may not take. So you will have that to get to consider. But yeah, go ahead and consider that, putting down that pre-emergent. That'll stop any of the seeds that are coming in, the clove or the crabgrass, or if you've got any other weed seeds coming in.
Okay. For just joining us this morning on WCCO, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions on our Smart Garden Show. Here is yet another one, Teresa. I was given 3 hydrangeas as gifts and thought they were to be planted outside, but then was told they were probably for inside. I'm having to water them. And can they be planted outside?
You can plant them outside with the understanding they won't make it through our winters, probably. They're probably something that's a much warmer zone. So you could use them in a container. So plant them up in a big container and just understand that you can either let them die in that container or you can then bring the container in or repot them and bring them in the fall and try to grow them on as a houseplant and then send them out again in the spring. So if they're not going to be hardy to zone 3, 4, or 5, depending upon what you have in Minnesota, you can treat them as an annual or just treat them as a tender perennial where you need to bring them in and out, protect them from our cold winter.
And what are we considered here now in the Twin Cities as far as zones are concerned?
Mostly a 5, but I wouldn't jump on that and say, oh, good, now we can grow everything that's zone 5. I would dip your toes in very gingerly into those new plants and just understand at any minute we could revert back to a cold winter, and the plants then could suffer. And if you're okay with that, then it's okay to fun and to experiment and have fun like that. But right now, lots of the southern part of the state is a zone 5. So, but I would just go slowly. And see what climate change brings to you and bring your new plants in slowly.
Very good. Is it too late to prune small diameter trees, less than a half inch, the branches off box elder and elm trees?
I'd probably get the elm done before it turns 60 on Thursday. I'd want to be out there right now if you absolutely have to. You don't want any bugs to be flying around with elm trees, and 40 can be kind of warm for some of those little insects to bring pathogens around. Box elder, you probably can prune just fine. You may see it running a little bit of sap like you would a maple. Just understand you may see a little sap running and you'll think you hurt your trees. And again, just prune as little as possible, you know, less than a quarter of the entire crown if you're doing a big pruning. But yeah, I would get it done sooner rather than later if you absolutely have to. Otherwise, I would just wait.
Okay. This listener is asking for a suggestion for a ground cover in a wooded area. This is in Alexandria, Minnesota. Says we recently installed a fence on the property line. Is this something that might be a good question for the U of M website?
It would be a wonderful question for the website. You may want to also consider Canadian or glossy ginger, European ginger. That will make a nice ground cover for you. I believe it's hardy to zone 3, 4. I'm not sure what Alexandria is now. So I would definitely do that and look at the extension website, extension.umn.edu. They actually have a wonderful little landscaping program in there where you can get to, you know, landscape plants, and you can actually say, I need a ground cover for zone 3 or zone 4 in a woody site, and it will give you a lot of different, or it will give you the selections, or I need a shrub for this zone, or it's a wonderful, wonderful program that you can get into through the extension website, extension.umn.edu.
Okay. How is the best way, Texter wants to know, to get aloe plants to grow and bloom?
So the aloe is not going to be hardy, so understand it's not hardy for us, but you would treat it as a house plant. Give it as much light as you possibly can. Eventually, when the plant is old enough, if it's healthy enough and getting enough sunlight, it should bloom for you. I haven't seen people trying to grow it for the bloom, so I can't even imagine what the bloom looks like because I've never seen it. Because usually we're just growing it for the leaves, the beautiful leaves, and if we're harvesting aloe from those leaves. But it needs a lot of sunlight, and just treat it, give it as much sunlight fruitful leaves and if we're harvesting aloe from those leaves. But it needs a lot of sunlight, and just treat it, give it as much sunlight as you can. And if we do have a nice warm summer, it can go outside. Get it used to being outside under the bright, bright sun, because even the brightest light in your house is nowhere near as bright as the sunshine.
All right. Let's take a bit of a break, Teresa, just a quick one, and we'll be back with more questions. Just a reminder that coming along next hour, Andy Lindis will be answering those home improvement questions next hour. So keep those in mind as we move on this holiday weekend. We'll be back with more of our Smart Garden Show. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, answering those particular questions here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is doing all the work here on a Saturday morning, holiday weekend, as a matter of fact. Right now in the Twin Cities, weather-wise, we have 34 degrees, going for 41. And as far as Easter Sunday tomorrow goes, chance of rain, not a great chance, about 30% chance, with highs tomorrow near 45, but warming up throughout the week. All right, let's see where we left. I'll tell you what, George is calling in from Blaine this morning. Let's get George in here. Hi, George, what's your question?
Well, I'm a longtime listener, love the show.
Thank you.
So thank you. I have a south side of my house. It's cold on. I've lived here since 1978, and it's the growth of the grass is sparse, and now it's got moss growing in it, too. And I'm just wondering, what can I do?
Okay, is it full sun, George?
Yes.
Okay, so what's happening when you're seeing that the moss is there? It's usually a soil that's not very fertile, so you may want to give put down some grass fertilizer. That will help the grass. If you want to take up the moss, you can. You may need to overseed in some of those areas if the grass is getting sparse. But it sounds like it's just a low fertility issue. Probably not an issue of shade or extra moisture. That's probably not what you're seeing there. Not on the south side of the house in full sun. So the low fertility issue would be probably what you're seeing there. So a little bit of fertilizer should help out. And then if you need to overseed this spring, but don't use then any pre-emergent, because that would stop your grass seed from sprouting. And then if you can, overseed again in August, the end of August into September. That's the best time for overseeding, and hopefully that will thicken up your grass and do give it some extra fertilizer. Leave the clippings on if you can, instead of bagging them if you're doing that. Okay. Good luck with that, George.
Another texter says this, Teresa: I potted my garden herbs last fall and all have survived the winter. However, the rosemary developed a powdery mildew a few weeks ago. Can it be treated and used or thrown out?
You could still treat it. Go ahead and look for treating powdery mildew, how you can do that. Just read the instructions on the product that you're using. You may even just want to spray it with fresh water, just free water, they call it, just fresh water. That actually kills the powdery mildew, and then put a fan on it so it dries off really, really, really quickly. It's just been stressed in the house. You can still eat it. It's not a problem. But that spraying, give it a shower. That will kill the powdery mildew, and then harvest what you want to after that, and it'll be just fine. And then get it outside as soon as you can when it warms up. That'll help, too, with it not being so stressed and not so susceptible to powdery mildew. Good on you for getting your herbs and your rosemary through the winter. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I should say. This listener is coming home from down south next weekend. Is it too late to prune my apple trees?
I'd say yes. If there's something you have to prune, do it as quickly as you possibly can when we have a day with really good air circulation and it's not very humid. But if you can skip pruning your apple trees, yes, do skip it this year, and then just try to get it done next February or early March. Normally it would be fine, but this year I'd say no. I'd say probably not.
Okay. Listener says this: can I cut my decorative grasses, names a couple, back now? Also, when do I cut them back? Is it all right if some of the new growth gets cut off? Carl Forrester in Shenandoah, they're naming.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so yes, go ahead and prune back those grasses now. Make sure that when the soil you're walking on is not soggy and wet. If it's soggy and wet, just wait a few days and then let it dry out a little bit. But yes, go ahead and prune back your decorative grasses. Understand that any grass you cut off now won't have the nice pointy tip of a blade. It'll always look cut off. That part will look cut off. So you may just try to avoid cutting as much of the new grass, the green grass, as possible.
Okay.
A few blades chopped off is not going to be a problem.
A lot of pruning questions this morning, Teresa. Here's another one. Is it too early to prune roses, campfire bush rose?
It depends. If your rose has come out of dormancy and you can see the dead canes, if you can see dead canes, go ahead and prune those out right away. If you're just pruning it to start shaping it up, you can go ahead and prune that. Normally, we want to wait till they come out of dormancy so we can see what's actually growing, and then you have a really good idea how to thin it out and prune it so all the growth is going outwards, not inwards. But if you have crossing branches and if you have dead branches, you can prune those out.
Okay. This listener says, I have heard of people using worm castings for an amendment. What's the benefit of this?
It's like a fertilizer. Think of it as worm manure. That's really what it is. So it's just a type of manure, so to speak, because worms are kind of animals, sort of. That's what it is. It's just like a manure product, like a compost. It's just an additive. The worms have gone through, they've eaten some organic matter, and then they've changed some, and then they poop it out, and that's what you're getting is worm poop, basically.
Okay.
It is what it is. Yep.
Yeah. This may be another candidate for the University of Minnesota website or heading to the Arboretum. I'll just read it. I need to plant some sort of tree or bush that will create some fast privacy between my home and a new home being built behind me. The area is partially sunny with some larger trees. Any ideas on what to plant?
I do have some ideas. I'd throw in a serviceberry, something like that there, or a larger viburnum. Also, I would go to the extension.umn.edu. They actually have a wonderful article on trees way down near the bottom. Tree selection should reflect your goals. So they'll give you some good ideas there. And then again, that program feature I mentioned earlier about selecting landscape plants. And then once you've got some ideas, head out to the Arboretum and see what they look like in real life. Understand that even just putting up a shorter shrub barrier that can come up a little faster, maybe your dogwoods and things like that, will give you some sense of privacy. Just a short shrub, even something 3 to 5 feet tall, can really stop the eye from going past your into your neighbor's house, and vice versa, your neighbor's eyes into going into your house to try to give you that sense of privacy again.
Very good. Teresa, we're just about out of time. I'd like to remind our listeners a couple of things. Get on that University of Minnesota website, extension.umn.edu. You're going to love it. And when possible, take yourself or family and friends to the Arboretum, right?
Go there frequently. It's a wonderful place to visit, and your friends will want to move to Minnesota so they can visit too.
That's right. Teresa, always a pleasure. Let's do this
again. Thanks, Danny. Have a good day, everyone.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney here on CCO. Now, as I mentioned earlier, get those home improvement questions ready. Next hour is our home improvement show. That's convenient enough. Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction will be answering those questions. 34 degrees in the Twin Cities on News Talk 830. This is W.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Once again, Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
Hey, it's springtime, and the snow is melting, and all these questions and comments we've had about dormant seeding, let's see what happens now coming along here in the next couple of weeks or so. Yeah, we're expected to be probably in the maybe low 60s by the end of the week. So, you
Minnesota,
know,
you got to love it.
Yeah, it's true. But it is, you know, you never know, that other shoe can still drop.
Exactly.
If you have, in fact, we already got a question or two to get things rolling here. But if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and if you are a regular listener to the show, you know we tend to get very busy here. So we'd love to hear from you, and you can call in your question. If we'd love to hear your marvelous voice, or you can send a text, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226, for either a phone call or a text. Any kind of a lawn or garden question this morning, 651-461-9226. Now, what about you? And I know you don't have to worry about mowing your lawn, Teresa.
I don't.
But what kind of preparation are you going through, if any yet, with your yard or garden?
This year I'm going to be gardening a lot in containers, so I've got my containers kind of ready. Not ready, but then I just have to get all the soil and everything else. So I'm thinking about what I'm going to be planting in them and where I'm going to put them, because I don't have a super lot of extra sun. The most sun seems to be right near the house, and so the house gets really hot. But where I'd like to put the containers, there's not a lot of sun there, so we have to see where we can put the containers and grow some veggies.
That kind of sounds familiar. Same here. I remember trying to grow peppers or tomatoes closer to the house, because that's where most of the sun falls.
Is, right? Yeah. And it's good to grow where you're going to be, so close to your house would make sense in some cases. But
yeah. Okay. I'm looking at a text, interesting question. Question for the garden show. In the back of my mailbox, I have a post which I like to, I'm trying to discern here what this says, which I like to hang a plant on. Above the area is a thick power line. Every plant I hang there dies. Do you think it's the power line or just bad luck with the plant?
I think it's bad luck with the plants, and probably it's in the bright sunshine. So those containers sitting out there in our bright sunshine when it gets so hot, sometimes you'll have to water them two or three times a day. And most people just aren't that able to get out there that frequently and water them. What you might want to think about, maybe instead of a hanging planter, maybe a big pot on the ground, if you can do something like that. That might be a better option, because you can get a bigger container that would hold more soil, and so maybe you'd only have to water it once a day.
Okay, very good. 651-461-9226. Calls are coming in as we speak. Let us take the first one. Roger, calling in this morning from one of my favorite towns, Owatonna. Roger, good morning. What is your question, please?
Yes, good morning. I've got a question that's not really a lawn and garden. It's more trees. I'm just wondering if Teresa has any opinion on hybrid oak trees, especially an ancestry oak or a heritage oak. Are they good trees to put in the yard, or is it better to stick to the traditional red and white and so on?
You know, Roger, that's a good question. And actually, the university just put out some articles on trees. If you go to extension.umn.edu, one of the articles is tree selection that should reflect your goals. So that may touch on it for you. But I see the hybrids are wonderful options. They may be good for the size and shape that you're looking at. You might not want a huge white oak. Maybe something that's a little bit smaller, or maybe a little more columnar or upright. So I would go with the hybrids, as long as they're going to fit where you're going to put them. Again, look up, make sure there's no power lines, make sure you have the right kind of soil, and then purchase it to make sure it's going to fit your zone, whether it's a 4, 3, or 5, whatever zone you happen to be in. Make sure it's at least hardy to that zone, if not hardier. And the hybrids are a great option for a lot of people. I say go ahead and give it a shot. Good luck.
Teresa, I was thinking about starting something by seed, you know, just growing in a window box or inside the house, you know, just
sure.
Maybe throw my grow lights back up or something.
Sure.
What's the process of doing that? Like, what about, I'm thinking about bell peppers, for example.
All right.
How do I do that?
So what you want to do is, and there are some good classes coming up on how to start your garden.
Oh, yeah?
How to start seeds. You can find that on the university website, how to start seed. But first of all, what you want to look at is your seed packet. And your seed packet will tell you start the indoor bell peppers, if you're starting them from seed. Start inside. Maybe it says 6 to 8 weeks before the last frost in your area. So that puts it, we're right now about maybe 6 weeks before the last frost here in Minnesota, depending upon where you happen to be located. And then just make sure that you've got potting soil. You want to use potting soil. Take your containers, make sure they're nice and clean. Put your seed in at the right depth. Get your potting soil nice and damp. Then put your seed in and cover it at the right depth. And keep it warm. The right depth. Get your potting soil nice and damp. Then put your seed in and cover it at the right depth and keep it warm. Bell peppers especially and lots of those tomatoes that like it kind of warm. It will tell you maybe you want to start this one on the top of the refrigerator where that heat comes up from behind and warms up that area just a little bit. As soon as the plants start emerging, you start seeing them germinate and they're coming up, then you want to make sure you're giving them as much full light as you possibly can. Grow lights are really good. You want to get that as close as possible to the plant without burning it. Make sure you're using lights that aren't super hot, as you don't want to burn the plant. And then just keep it watered and pay attention to it. Raise that grow light when you need to. If you're growing just on the windowsill, you'll see a plant start to lean toward the window. You're going to have to turn that pot maybe a quarter turn every day. What they're doing is they're stretching for the sunlight. Windows can also be kind of cold. If you live in a house like mine, the windows can be freezing cold in the when it's cold outside because I don't have good windows. So just keep an eye on how warm that is. And just pay attention to your plants. And then it'll tell you how to harden them off to get them used to being outside when you plant them outside. Things like peppers here in Minnesota, you probably don't want to be putting those in your outside ground until maybe Memorial Day or later.
Oh, okay.
They like really warm soil. They're a warm season plant. They like warm soil. They like warm air, warm soil. All that kind of information. But seed packets will tell you all that. The extension website will also tell you all that. Or Master Gardener.
And have a little patience.
And have patience.
Or a lot of patience, in my case. Texter says this. I know we have to break here momentarily, but I want to get another question answered here. Texter says, I've grown gloxinias for about 3 years. Recently, I found out that they are supposed to go dormant. Mine never have. Should I try to force dormancy? If so, when?
I have never grown a gloxinia. I have no knowledge of that plant. I would say, though, if you've been growing it and they've always worked for you, keep doing what you're doing. Maybe you plant them new every year so they don't need to go dormant. However, just do what you've been doing all the time or go to extension.umn.edu, and that's a new plant on me. I've never grown that plant. Good luck with that.
Very good. Hang on, Teresa, please. We're taking a quick break here on our Smart Garden Show, here every Saturday, by the way, in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks to Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning, answering those lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. Right now, here in the Twin Cities, we have currently, 34 degrees. We are heading for 41, and as far as Easter Sunday tomorrow goes, small chance of rain in the afternoon, otherwise a cloudy Sunday, Easter Sunday, with highs near 45. However, by Friday, we could be in the low 60s. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here on WCCO. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, doing all the answering of those lawn and garden questions this morning. 651-461-9226. Here's another one for you, Teresa. What's the proper way to care for an indoor cactus in full sun?
If it's looking nice and healthy, just make sure that you water it occasionally. You don't want it to start wilting or start shrinking. Otherwise, all you have to do is just keep it watered occasionally and in full sun. That's really all you have to do. There's not much else. Most cacti are slow growing. They will love the full sun. If you see it starting to lean or anything like that, maybe turn the pot, because sometimes your full sun maybe isn't as full sun as you hope. If it starts looking a little pale, maybe it needs a grow light. Other than that, it should be very happy where it is in that full sun window for you.
All right. Listener wants to know, Teresa, can you use soil from my existing garden for the container garden? It's for tomatoes. And should I supplement the soil with anything?
If you are planting in a container, you need to use container soil or potting soil. Never use the soil from your garden. The soil from your garden is just too heavy, and it will just pack down and get really hard, and the plant won't grow at all or not very well in it. So you have to use container soil. If you're growing in a container, or if you're starting pots, you use a seed starting mix or a container soil mix. Never garden soil.
Interesting text here I'm reading. My neighbor's lawn just had a lawn treatment done on their lawn. Was it too early? Since we're not in the growing season, we've had 12 inches of snow. Will that chemical just be washed away?
Probably. I don't know what they would have had done. Hopefully the lawn service did not do something out of season or whatever. Maybe they were having a dormant seeding. I don't know. But it's really too early. The ground is not warm enough yet for pre-emergent stuff to be putting down for the crabgrass or anything like that. So I'm not quite sure. I would think it was too early. It's too early to be fertilizing. You just need to wait till stuff is actively growing, till the grass is actively growing. Yeah, it could be too early.
And I know we're going to be addressing that maybe on next week's show, given the warmer temperatures. But if your ground is soggy, your lawn, you don't want to walk on that yet.
You don't want to walk on it. You don't want, especially because we did just have some snow and the ground probably is thawed. So now it's wet and you don't want to be walking and compacting that soil.
Yeah.
Denny, you've gotten a lot of points over the years.
Well,
you,
I tell you what, you and your colleagues are the smart ones here, and I've tried to absorb as much as I can.
You're doing a good job.
Well, there may be another judge's opinion on that, but that's thank you. This listener says, I have a bunch of garlic that has sprouted. Can I plant the individual cloves?
You can. However, it's probably garlic from the regular grocery store, so it's going to be a soft neck garlic, which means it's just a bulb, a head of garlic with a whole bunch of cloves inside. Normally, what we would be planting in October is hard neck garlic, which is a bunch of cloves around a hard stem in the middle of that head of garlic or that bulb of garlic. So then you would plant out the cloves. If you plant the little sprouted garlic now, what you're going to get is more like a scallion. So you'll be getting the green of the garlic, the stem, and that's what probably you'll be using. You won't ever get a full bulb of garlic from that little clove that you're planting.
Okay. I know in previous shows we've talked about and answered a listener question about landscape rock. I don't particularly care for it. I know you and some of your colleagues don't either. But maybe we could address reasons why. But this listener says, you say no to landscape rock around the house and recommend using mulch. But isn't that a haven for all sorts of bugs?
Mulch, the wood chip mulch can be a haven for all sorts of bugs. You are totally correct on that, and I wouldn't have it right up against my house. I'd probably leave a 2 or 3 inch dead zone of just soil up against the side of the house. If you're planting just around your house, or if you're landscaping, sometimes that could be a place for landscape rock. But the wood mulch, it can be a haven for insects, and I can't deny that it certainly can. So you wouldn't want it right up against the house. You want that little no man's zone between the house and the mulch.
What would be another negative for rock, Teresa? I've heard years ago that if you have plantings in there, it could heat up quite a bit.
It can heat up. Lots of the time, with the rock, what you've got is you've got to put down a landscape fabric on the soil, then you put your rock down. And that that landscape fabric is a weed barrier after a fashion, even if it's the woven kind. However, what it's really doing is just holding the rocks away from the soil so the rocks don't sink down into the soil as they can. So what you have to do then is you have to think, okay, there's going to be leaves, there's going to be dust coming into those rocks. That's going to get in all the crevices. It's going to turn into a soil or an organic matter. Then weed seeds are going to be able to grow in between the rocks, and they can't get down into the soil. Then you have to take all your rocks out, wash them, take out the landscape fabric because it's now ripping and falling apart, put down fresh landscape fabric, and then put your rocks back down again. You may have to do that every 5 to 10 years to make it look nice. Also, what's happening is because you have the landscape fabric there, you cut a hole in for your plant, but the fabric may prevent water from getting to the roots of the plant. It can also strangle the plant if the plant gets bigger and you haven't pulled back more landscape fabric. It can get really, really moist under there. It can get too wet under there, and then you have fungal problems. It's just not a happy putting plastic on top of soil. Is not a happy ecosystem in the soil underneath, if you can think of it that way. If you know, decide, do you just want landscape rock around your house where you're not going to grow anything, say, for the first 2 or 3 feet, fine. But if you're trying to grow something, you want to make the plant happy. So try to get the soil happy.
All right. Good info. Before we have a look at that forecast, another texter says this: I overwintered my geraniums in the basement this year. When should I pull those out?
I'd probably pull them out now and start bringing them up, start watering them, bringing them to life, cutting them back if you need to, if they've gotten kind of stringy, or as you see them grow and if they get kind of leggy, cut them back so they're nice and compact but full and bushy when you put them outside. Then just make sure you do acclimate them to being outside when you decide to put them outside.
All right, very good. Hang on, Teresa. Okay. We're going to take a break for weather, and then we'll have about another half hour of our Smart Garden Show. See what the rest of this Easter holiday weekend brings weather-wise, and then this coming week, too. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering those lawn and garden questions either by phone or by text. If you'd like to call in, great, 651-461-9226. Or the same number applies to your text questions, 651-461-9226. Teresa, let's talk a little bit about what's going on at the Arboretum. We always like to bring that topic up because, first of all, it's a great resource. And it is a fun place that if you've never been there, once you do visit, you will be returning. There's no doubt about it.
You will be. You need to get a ticket first, so you need to go online and get a ticket. That helps with parking. It just helps with crowd control, too. Crowd control at an arboretum. That sounds funny.
It does.
But there's a lot going on at the arboretum. There's a lot of plants that are starting to bud out, so you can look at the red twig dogwood and the yellow dogwood and see the magnolias buds swelling, and all the conifers are getting their beautiful cones, and some are actually pink or red, so that's kind of interesting to see. You could also head over to the conservatory. The Hoyas are blooming, or there is a Hoya blooming, which is an amazing plant. There's so much to do. There's beautiful art shows at the Arboretum. I know they have some exhibits that you'd want to look at. There's classes going on at the Arboretum, so you can take classes. There's yoga. There's all kinds of things going on. They'll be starting some walks, some nature walks next month, which is like day after tomorrow. But next weekend, they'll be starting some. So there's a lot going on at the Arboretum. You know, go out there, bring your friends. It's a great way, too, if you're looking for a tree. That gentleman, Roger, who was looking for a hybrid tree, they might have those hybrid oaks out there. And you may want to see, yep, do I like that oak or do I not like that oak? So if you're selecting a tree or a shrub and you want to see it as its full, big, gorgeous what it looks like in real life in an arboretum setting. You can see what those trees and shrubs look like. You can get some good ideas for your garden and your landscaping.
Oh, absolutely. And any time of the year, you can see what those trees or shrubs look like in the fall and the winter, you know, with any.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. It's a, it is a great idea for that, job, too. How do you get there? Well, you just head out west on Highway 5 and 41. I guess that's the closest intersection.
Yep.
You're almost there, so it's just
you're
off to your
there.
Left.
It'll be on your south or left side. Yep, it's right there.
All right, let's get back to our questions here on our Smart Garden Show. Here's one. Hello, I have a golden doodle. I love those dogs. Who is full brown, full grown rather, and a very active dog. He loves to run in our fenced-in backyard. However, my grass is taking a beating because of him. The grass was already getting thin from shade trees before he came along. Well, his paws really tear up the turf, and this spring the lawn is more like a mud pit. Is there any way to add more durability to my existing grass to help survive the trampling and tearing up from our beloved four-legged monster?
No, not really.
What would you put down there?
Well, you know, you're dealing with two things. You're dealing with some shade, encroaching shade, and you're dealing with a dog. So not only is the dog activity going to be impairing it, but also what dogs do. But the running around is really going to compact that soil, going to tear it up. I would just maybe go with a wood chip mulch in some areas, especially those areas if your dog is a patroller, likes to make the circle of the yard. You know, don't try to grow things around the fence. Just bring it in and just have let the dog have a path around the fence where he or she can run and patrol. Or if they come up, my dogs used to come out of the back door of the house and go straight to the elm tree because the squirrels were there taunting them all the time. So it wouldn't make any sense to try planting anything in that runway because the dogs would have just ran right over it. So you kind of have to see where are they playing. Is there an area where you can just put some wood chips down and let the golden doodle play there? And then in another area, maybe fence it off a little bit and have some turf so you can actually put field grass under your feet. Or you may just say, well, the turf is in the front yard and the dog is in the backyard, and that's how it goes. And you can replant. You can try replanting. I had a neighbor who replanted every year. She was out there constantly replanting because she had two big boxers in the backyard. Dogs and grass, dogs and tree, or trees and grass, not good combinations.
Yeah. But the dog alone is great.
The dog alone is great. So, yeah, that's definitely a plus. So I'd err on the side of whatever makes the puppy happy.
There you go. Texter says, can I use corn gluten meal on my asparagus bed for weed control? If I can, when do I put it on and how much of it?
That's interesting. Corn gluten meal. I suppose you could. I don't know if it would inhibit future asparagus growth because the asparagus would be coming from the roots. I wouldn't think it would, but I'd probably double check with the extension website on that. And just understand that as you use the corn gluten meal, it takes a few years to build up in the soil. So it's going to take a little while for it to be super effective for the weed control you want. In the meantime, you'll still have to be pulling a lot of those weeds and clipping them out of there to help your asparagus.
Okay. Last year, a listener says, I started a bee lawn, which is mostly Dutch white clover. I had issues with crabgrass coming up, and I know I need to stay away from weed control products, but I'm wondering if I can use a crabgrass preventer on this without harming the clover.
You should be able to. If the clover is up and growing, the weed, the pre-emergent, stops seeds from actually growing or sprouting or germinating. So any plants that are up there already will be fine. It just means if your clover is going to set seed, that seed may not take. So you will have that to consider. But yeah, go ahead and consider that, putting down that pre-emergent. That'll stop any of the seeds that are coming in, the clove or the crabgrass, or if you've got any other weed seeds coming in.
Okay. For just joining us this morning on WCCO, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions on our Smart Garden Show. Here is yet another one, Teresa. I was given three hydrangeas as gifts and thought they were to be planted outside, but then was told they were probably for inside. I'm having to water them, and can they be planted outside?
You can plant them outside with the understanding they won't make it through our winters, probably. They're probably something that's a much warmer zone. So you could use them in a container. So plant them up in a big container and just understand that you can either let them die in that container or you can then bring the container in or repot them and bring them in the fall and try to grow them on as a houseplant and then send them out again in the spring. So if they're not going to be hardy to zone 3, 4, or 5, depending upon what you have in Minnesota, you can treat them as an annual or just treat them as a tender perennial where you need to bring them in and out, protect them from our cold winter.
And what are we considered here now in the Twin Cities as far as zones are concerned?
Mostly a 5, but I wouldn't jump on that and say, oh, good, now we can grow everything that's zone 5. I would dip your toes in very gingerly into those new plants and just understand at any minute we could revert back to a cold winter, and the plants then could suffer. And if you're okay with that, then it's okay to fun and to experiment and have fun like that. But right now, lots of the southern part of the state is a zone 5. So, but I would just go slowly. And see what climate change brings to you and bring your new plants in slowly.
Very good. Is it too late to prune small diameter trees, less than a half inch, the branches off box elder and elm trees?
The elm. I'd probably get the elm done before it turns 60 on Thursday. I'd want to be out there right now if you absolutely have to. You don't want any bugs to be flying around with elm trees. And 40 can be kind of warm for some of those little insects to bring pathogens around. Box elder, you probably can prune just fine. You may see it running a little bit of sap like you would a maple. Just understand you may see a little sap running and you'll think you hurt your trees. And again, just prune as little as possible. You know, less than a quarter of the entire crown if you're doing a big pruning. But yeah, I would get it done sooner rather than later if you absolutely have to. Otherwise, I would just wait.
Okay. This listener is asking for a suggestion for a ground cover in a wooded area. This is in Alexandria, Minnesota. Says we recently installed a fence on the property line. Is this something that might be a good question for the U of M website?
It would be a wonderful question for the website. You may want to also consider Canadian or glossy ginger, European ginger. That will make a nice ground cover for you. I believe it's hardy to zone 3, 4. I'm not sure what Alexandria is now. So I would definitely do that and look at the extension website, extension.umn.edu. They actually have a wonderful little landscaping program in there where you can get to, you know, landscape plants, and you can actually say, I need a ground cover for zone 3 or zone 4 in a woody site, and it will give you a lot of different, or it will give you the selections, or I need a shrub for this zone, or it's a wonderful, wonderful program that you can get into through the extension website, extension.umn.edu.
Okay. How is the best way, texter wants to know, to get aloe plants to grow and bloom?
So the aloe is not going to be hardy, so understand it's not hardy for us, but you would treat it as a house plant. Give it as much light as you possibly can. Eventually, when the plant is old enough, if it's healthy enough and getting enough sunlight, it should bloom for you. I haven't seen people trying to grow it for the bloom, so I can't even imagine what the bloom looks like because I've never seen it, because usually we're just growing it for the leaves, the beautiful leaves, and if we're harvesting aloe from those leaves. But it needs a lot of sunlight, and just treat it, give it as much sunlight for leaves, and if we're harvesting aloe from those leaves. But it needs a lot of sunlight, and just treat it, give it as much sunlight as you can. And if we do have a nice warm summer, it can go outside. Get it used to being outside under the bright, bright sun, because even the brightest light in your house is nowhere near as bright as the sunshine.
All right. Let's take a bit of a break, Teresa, just a quick one, and we'll be back with more questions. Just a reminder that coming along next hour, Andy Lindis will be answering those home improvement questions next hour. So keep those in mind as we move on this holiday weekend. We'll be back with more of our Smart Garden Show. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, answering those particular questions here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is doing all the work here on a Saturday morning holiday weekend, as a matter of fact. Right now in the Twin Cities, weather-wise, we have 34 degrees going for 41. And as far as Easter Sunday tomorrow goes, chance of rain, not a great chance, about 30% chance, with highs tomorrow near 45, but warming up throughout the week. All right, let's see where we left. I'll tell you what, George is calling in from Blaine this morning. Let's get George in here. Hi, George, what's your question?
Well, I'm a longtime listener, love the show.
Thank you.
So thank you. I have a south side of my house. It's full sun. I've lived here since 1978, and it's the growth of the grass is sparse, and now it's got moss growing in it, too. And I'm just wondering, what can I do?
Okay, is it full sun, George?
Yes.
Okay, so what's happening when you're seeing that the moss is there? It's usually a soil that's not very fertile, so you may want to put down some grass fertilizer. That will help the grass. If you want to take up the moss, you can. You may need to overseed in some of those areas if the grass is getting sparse. But it sounds like it's just a low fertility issue. Probably not an issue of shade or extra moisture. That's probably not what you're seeing there. Not on the south side of the house in full sun. So the low fertility issue would be probably what you're seeing there. So a little bit of fertilizer should help out. And then if you need to overseed this spring, but don't use then any pre-emergent, because that would stop your grass seed from sprouting. And then if you can overseed again in August, the end of August into September, that's the best time for overseeding. And hopefully that will thicken up your grass and do give it some extra fertilizer. Leave the clippings on if you can instead of bagging them if you're doing that. Okay. Good luck with that, George.
Another texter says this, Teresa, I potted my garden herbs last fall and all have survived the winter. However, the rosemary developed a powdery mildew a few weeks ago. Can it be treated and used or thrown out?
You could still treat it. Go ahead and look for treating powdery mildew, how you can do that. Just read the instructions on the product that you're using. You may even just want to spray it with fresh water, just free water, they call it, just fresh water. That actually kills the powdery mildew, and then put a fan on it so it dries off really, really, really quickly. It's just been stressed in the house. You can still eat it. It's not a problem. But that spraying, give it a shower. That will kill the powdery mildew, and then harvest what you want to after that, and it'll be just fine. And then get it outside as soon as you can when it warms up. That'll help, too, with it not being so stressed and not so susceptible to powdery mildew. Good on you for getting your herbs and your rosemary through the winter. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I should say. This listener is coming home from down south next weekend. Is it too late to prune my apple trees?
I'd say yes. If there's something you have to prune, do it as quickly as you possibly can when we have a day with really good air circulation and that's not very humid. But if you can skip pruning your apple trees, yes, do skip it this year, and then just try to get it done next February or early March. Normally it would be fine, but this year I'd say no. I'd say probably not.
Okay. Listener says this, can I cut my decorative grasses? Names a couple. Back now. Also, when do I cut them back? Is it all right if some of the new growth gets cut off? Carl Forrester and Shenandoah, they're naming.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so yes, go ahead and prune back those grasses. Now, make sure that when the soil you're walking on is not soggy and wet. If it's soggy and wet, just wait a few days and then let it dry out a little bit. But yes, go ahead and prune back your decorative grasses. understand that any grass you cut off now won't have the nice pointy tip of a blade. It'll always look cut off. That part will look cut off. So you may just try to avoid cutting as much of the new grass, the green grass, as possible.
Okay.
A few blades chopped off is not going to be a problem.
A lot of pruning questions this morning, Teresa. Here's another one. Is it too early to prune roses, campfire bush rose?
It depends. If your roses come out of dormancy and you can see the dead canes, if you can see dead canes, go ahead and prune those out right away. If you're just pruning it to start shaping it up, you can go ahead and prune that. Normally, we want to wait till they come out of dormancy so we can see what's actually growing, and then you have a really good idea how to thin it out and prune it so all the growth is going outwards, not inwards. But if you have crossing branches and if you have dead branches, you can prune those out.
Okay. This listener says, I have heard of people using worm castings for an amendment. What's the benefit of this?
It's like a fertilizer. Think of it as worm manure. That's really what it is. So it's just a type of manure, so to speak, because worms are kind of animals, sort of. That's what it is. It's just like a manure product, like a compost. It's just an additive. The worms have gone through, they've eaten some organic matter, and then they've changed some, and then they poop it out, and that's what you're getting is worm poop, basically.
Okay.
It is what it is. Yep.
Yeah. This may be another candidate for the University of Minnesota website or heading to the Arboretum. I'll just read it. I need to plant some sort of tree or bush that will create some fast privacy between my home and a new home being built behind me. The area is partially sunny with some larger trees. Any ideas on what to plant?
I do have some ideas. I throw in a serviceberry, something like that there, or a larger viburnum. Also, I would go to the extension.umn.edu. They actually have a wonderful article on trees way down near the bottom. Tree selection should reflect your goals. So they'll give you some good ideas there. And then again, that program feature I mentioned earlier about selecting landscape plants. And then once you've got some ideas, head out to the Arboretum and see what they look like in real life. Understand that even just putting up a shorter shrub barrier that can come up a little faster, maybe your dogwoods and things like that, will give you some sense of privacy. Just a short shrub, even something 3 to 5 feet tall, can really stop the eye from going past your into your neighbor's house, and vice versa, your neighbor's eyes into going into your house to try to give you that sense of privacy again.
Very good. Teresa, we're just about out of time. I'd like to remind our listeners a couple of things. Get on that University of Minnesota website, extension.umn.edu. You're going to love it. And when possible, take yourself or family and friends to the Arboretum, right?
Go there frequently. It's a wonderful place to visit, and your friends will want to move to Minnesota so they can visit too.
That's right. Teresa, always a pleasure. Let's do this again.
Thanks, Danny. Have a good day, everyone.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney here on CCO. Now, as I mentioned earlier, get those home improvement questions ready. Next hour is our home improvement show. That's convenient enough. Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction will be answering those questions. 34 degrees in the Twin Cities on News Talk 830. This is
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.